Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Here we are then, Dave. Wednesday morning. How are you?
All right. Yeah, fine. Yeah, good.
Right, good. Okay, great. I like to discover how I'm feeling as I'm saying it. I don't really have... I never have a pre-prepared message for how I am when people ask. And I like to... I mean, how am I? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Just sort of...
How are you is one of the most pointless questions in the history of mankind.
Because, especially during lockdown.
Especially during lockdown. But even out of lockdown, have you ever really honestly said anything apart from, yeah, I'm all right, how are you?
Well, all I can tell you is there was a guy at uni who used to actually tell us how he was. And I still shudder to think of those moments. Hey, Ben, how are you? Oh, shit, I said his name. Hey, Ben, how are you? Ben Davis. Oh, no. And, I've just done this thing. And suddenly you're like, oh, that's the next half an hour of my life gone. You know.
Yeah, but to be fair, in his defense, you did ask.
I did ask, mate. I did ask, but it's a rhetorical non-question, man.
Exactly.
I'm trying to make non-versation. I don't want to actually know how you actually are.
Maybe we need to come up with a sort of alternative that isn't a question. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what... good morning. Good day to you. Tipping your hat. That's what all that stuff is.
Yeah, but you can't just say good morning to someone, can you? Like, you can't walk into... Say if we worked in an office together, you can't just be like, good morning.
What's the weirdest salutation to give to someone as you go past them? Which is technically a salutation. What's the weirdest kind of good day to you? Good day is a good one, isn't it? Good day to you.
Yeah. As you walk past someone, I think that's fine because you can just do that thing where you don't stop and that's all right. It's when you're in a situation like, you know, you meet at an event or you know, whatever the thing is. Oh, hello.
Oh my God, Dave, stop what you're doing.
I've stopped.
You're not going to believe who's on the line. Holy shitbags. I can hear her breathing. Can you
it's
just...
me.
It's there you go.
Well, I didn't want to eavesdrop, but equally you sounded like you were having, you know, heart to heart and I didn't want to interrupt. So I just sort of...
Yeah, we were actually, Catherine. It was pretty big. I was asking him if he... Because Dave often yawns when I'm talking on the podcast. And I have to ask him if he's bored or tired. So...
Yeah.
Which is it, Dave?
This morning, tired. Very much tired, yeah. I think just it will be tired for the next 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, when you yawn, it actually means your brain's not getting enough oxygen. So, in these troubling times.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely the story of my lockdown, isn't it, I think? Lots of yawning, lots of oxygen.
Guys, Catherine Ryan's on the show. Welcome to Cabin Fever. Catherine Ryan, how on earth are you?
Hey, Tom. I'm really well. I'm excited to talk to you. I just did live... Sky News, and that's daunting. Wow. So, you know, this feels like I'm glad to see you or, you know, hear you. And yeah. I wanted to ask you how you feel about Wilfred. Have you already covered this?
Yeah, we did this a few weeks ago on an episode. Okay. I thought about
yeah. you straight away.
Thanks, man. It's been, I'm not going to lie to you, it's been a tough few weeks. We're wondering if we can change it, but it's a bit late. He has now wilfified since I last saw you. He's now a wilf.
Good, yeah.
So we're finding some freedom there, but yeah, it's been a tough few weeks, man.
Do you know, the age gap is decent, and
yes.
I know a little boy who was called Wilf, christened Wilfred, right. And he is now renamed himself Tiffany Foxlips, and he's decided he's a little a ginger kitten. He's been Tiffany Foxlips for about a year, and he'll only respond if you say Tiffany Foxlips, and he goes, brow. So.
Oh my God, that's I'm so getting Wilfred into that. Tiffany Foxlips, that's amazing.
This is the best kid, you know.
Yeah. That kid sounds way better than my kid.
I don't want to question your parenting, Tom, but why didn't you think of that immediately?
I don't know, Tiffany Foxlips. Wow, and also if you've got that, you guarantee you're going to get yourself a Twitter handle with your actual name on it, don't you?
yeah, there's no Tiffany Foxlips at 032 there, is there?
Yeah, exactly, that's not a problem. Actually, do you know what, Catherine? We were just talking about what is the best salutation. I mean, this is the sort of chat we have here on Cabin Fever. And I promise you, we will talk about, you know, the important stuff and why you're here in a second.
Okay.
But we were talking about, you know, do you say like, because we're running out of non-versation, the little tiny, hi there, when you walk past someone you know, and how are you? And you don't really tell someone how you actually are. What is your go-to hi, and how do you keep conversation to an absolute minimum when you bump into people?
I don't do small talk and I'm not British. So I'll come straight in with, I'm on my period.
Okay, great. Right.
Before someone's even said, how are you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because then if they're in, they're absolutely in. And then if they're just an acquaintance, they've run off like soon after.
You see, that is a good tactic. That is a good way of keeping your local acquaintances to a minimum then. Therefore the wheat, you're separating the wheat from the chaff, aren't you? You're just keeping the best people.
Separating the wheat from the chaff. Yeah. That's it. You know, I think you guys, you British people, God bless you, but you're bogged down by a politeness, and I just think you could really do without it. You've got to cut the wheat from the shaft is the new motto. It was once keep con and carry on, and now cut the wheat from the shaft.
Let's leave the shaft out of this. All right, good, fine. Well, now we know. If you ever bump into Catherine Ryan, there's a good chance she's going to.
I won't even be on my period. I just say that.
I was going to say, is that just a sort of month round salutation? Doesn't matter when, yeah.
I have diarrhea is another good one.
Absolutely leaking. Catherine, what is going on with you? Now, we've been talking a lot during Cabin Fever about we sort of touch on food, don't we, Dave? We touch on the fact that you're a fan of the Deliveroo, Dave Cribb.
Yeah. I have done more cooking since I've been alive, I think, during lockdown, because you sort of have to, don't you? Otherwise, you go mad.
Yeah. But the thing that's missing is having food with other people. But hey, Catherine Ryan's got a solution to all that. Tell us, please, about having food with other people. What can we do?
Oh, yeah. Friday, May 22nd, 8 p.m., table for 1 million. We are doing, along with Gusto, a live virtual dinner party with a bunch of spicy celebrity guests. Nick Grimshaw is the host. Paloma Faith will be there. David Hay, myself. And we're all going to cook a meal. We'll do a little rate my plate. We're going to glam up, and the whole nation can get involved. Book a seat at this table, comment, and it's really interactive. You can be involved in the dinner party.
That's amazing. A table for 1 million. But how's this working? So is this all going to be on social media? Is there going to be some kind of hashtag going on here?
Yes, we're going to stream the video live. So you go to table41million.com and book your seat ASAP.
Right.
And then you watch along with the live feed, and you don't have to worry about the camera being on you. So you can watch it in your pants if you like. But you comment. We're going to read a bunch of comments and follow, you know, everyone being involved.
Okay, so what is your go-to dish then? What's the food plan for this Friday?
Well, it is a surprise, but I think with Gusto, it's really good because they send you everything that you need. There's so little food waste, the exact ingredients that you need to make restaurant food at home. So I've got a few recipes I've got my eye on, but I don't want to give too much away because it is competitive. I'm doing Rate My Plate, and I don't want Nick Grimshaw to get any leg up on this competition.
I mean, do you want some advice from me and Dave? Dave, we're pretty good culinarily, aren't we? We can step up here.
What's your first top tip cooking wise, Tom?
My first top tip cooking wise, I'm gonna have to say, if you put a little bit less on the plate, it looks a bit special. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what really high-end restaurants do. So even if it's beans on toast, if you get a tiny bit of toast and cut it into a circle, you can sort of say, if you put two layers of toast and it looks a bit fatter, you can say it's soda bread, because let's be honest, soda bread's just fat bread. And put like three beans on it, three bit beans on it, and people are going, ooh, you know what I mean?
You're poor children.
Yeah.
on a lot of levels, but this mainly.
You want to do just a nickel of rye with one solitary bean.
Yeah, exactly. Go minimal. That's the way to do it, and people will be impressed by that. So that's my first tip off the blocks.
That's great advice, Tom.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm just reveling in the fact that it's called Gusto. I used to get the Gusto boxes for bloody months, and I love them, but I've been calling it Gausto for my entire life, and that is... I'm absolutely shell-shocked to that. You know, when just you find out a word is just not pronounced how you thought it was.
Well, welcome to the jungle. I don't pronounce anything right in this country. I can't even pronounce my husband's name. So I got a husband because I was tired of taking the bins out. The patriarchy finally has won. Yeah. And his name is Bobby. And every time I say it, or he says it, because he's Canadian, people write it B-A-R-B-I-E. They think we're saying Barbie. But his name's Bobby. But we say Bobby, but you guys say Bobby. So now anytime I say his name, I have to use an accent, or else people think his name is Barbie.
How is your British accent getting on? Because when did we first gig together, Catherine? It's going to be 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, plus.
And how long had you been here then when you...
I mean, I came sort of January 2008, a little bit before I was visiting. So, I mean, I started gigging, but I was never like hot on the gigs. I wasn't gigging every single weekend. I was dabbling.
Yeah, a light dabble. Nothing wrong with that. But how is your British accent after all this time here? Do you can you wheel out a British accent, or are you keeping that to yourself?
Oh, no, my British accent's sweet. So, like, my best one is Essex, yeah? Because I love Gemma Collins, and I think I'm absolutely gorgeous as well. No, that, I kind of lost it for a second there.
That was good.
And then, like, I used to do Cheryl Cole, and all you have to do for that is be like, hey, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. This is brilliant. Keep them coming.
When I'm making fun of my daughter, I can do a little bit posh as well, but it's not that good because I don't really hang out with posh people.
So does your daughter have a British accent then? Because obviously she's grown up here.
She of course does. Like, it's really weird for me that people are surprised by her accent. My dad's Irish, and I grew up in Canada, so I don't have an Irish accent. I mean, you just have the accent of where you were born every single time, unless, I guess, you stay in like a small community where you speak a different language. You just acclimatize. Like, the kids don't want to be like their parents. They want to be like everyone at school.
Yeah, it's so true. My son's getting he's getting well proper North London now. He's like that. Dad, can I play on the iPad? It's very tricky.
Well, that'll set him aside from the other Wilfred, to be fair.
That is true. The Wilfred thing, what I'm worried about with the Wilfred thing is that there's going to be a whole rash of Tory supporting Wilfred namers that are going to come through the ranks. So, do you know what I mean? So everyone's going to see Bozo's done it and be like, oh, Boris, I love you so much. I'm going to call my son Wilfred. So in about, you know what I mean? In a couple of years' time, there's just going to be a whole glut of Wilfred babies. But you're right, Catherine. By then, Wilfred will be like 10. It'll be fine.
Right. And people have started naming their children Violet. And that was a really unusual name when I named my daughter. But who cares? She's 11. And I have to say, give credit where credit is due. I'm not a huge Bojo fan. I love the name Wilfred. I think he's nailed it.
It's annoying if you're not a massive Boris fan, which I'm probably, it's fair to say I'm not. It's annoying when you realize you've got similar tastes in names. That's quite upsetting.
Well, I mean, it wasn't his first choice. It was like his eighth or ninth choice. He's got enough kids by now.
Exactly. You've been through 10 boy names by that stage anyway. So how is lockdown going for you, please? Are you one of these people who's actually secretly quite enjoying it, or you are openly quite enjoying it?
I'm openly enjoying it. I've been hostile towards the elderly for some time already. No, I'm upset that, you know, people are suffering, of course. I don't want that to happen. But I can't complain because I live in a very happy home. My family are nice to me. I've already moved an ocean away from the extended family. So now there are just more resources to connect with them online.
Yeah.
At Table for 1 Million on Friday, you know.
There you go. Are you going to get your family involved in Table for 1 Million as well? Going to get them on that?
You bet.
Okay. So good. So give us a list of those celebrities who are doing it again, please. So you've got yourself, you've got Grimshaw.
Mm-hmm. Paloma Faith. Mm-hmm. And heavyweight champion David Haye.
David Haye is going to be like stripped back chicken, isn't he? Because he's a boxing superstar. That's what all the
whole meal pasta and
yeah, exactly.
Plain chicken.
Yeah.
I think he might be a vegan, or he was. I mean, I don't know. My stepdad is a vegan, and he's really, really muscular because he's also like Amish, and he built my mother's house with his bare hands.
What? Why is that an Amish thing? Why do the Amish have to do that? What's going on there, please?
The show offs.
They're just serious, very serious DIYists. They make DIY into a religion. That is the Amish thing, isn't it? They everything's stripped back to its very basic sort of stuff, and they just literally build their homes with their own hands. It's amazing.
It's good in a pandemic because they know how to grow their own food and fix their own things, and they don't need anyone to come to the house and do a pedicure. You know, they're sorted.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're not killing plants. I'm killing all my plants. Like, I got plants. I got plants at the start of lockdown, and they're really all waning now because I've just never done it. I thought, oh, this would be a good thing to do in lockdown. Well, it turns out murdering plants isn't a great thing to do in lockdown, but I'll keep trying.
Well, no, if you are murdering plants, that makes you a vegan, to be fair. That is what the veganists do.
Yeah.
They're plant killers, mate. You're full on vegan. Have you, Dave, you owned, so Catherine, Dave spent about, what was it, 300 quid?
£400, actually.
£400 on plants.
Marijuana.
Yeah, that's why you're burning it. You're burning all the plants.
But like big plants. We're talking like sort of tree vibes.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are unkillable. And guess what? Haven't killed them yet. So that on that level, I'm pretty proud. But some of the other ones are wilting and drooping. Apparently you can overwater plants. Who knew? as well as underwatering them. It's a real minefield. So I'm amazed anyone can keep a plant alive, to be honest. It's like a sweet spot, like the shower temperature thing of how much pissing water you're going to give them. But never mind. Look, this is my own personal problems, guys. You know, I don't need to project them on you.
I got in a battle with a horticulturalist because I reached out saying that I would like to buy vegetable plants. And this woman went off the handle. I mean, bananas. She's like, how dare you diminish my life's work. I am a horticulturalist and I take this very seriously. And you celebrities, you think that you can just buy plants? And I was like, yes. And she was—
I mean, you famously can.
That's a big— it's a big business.
She was livid.
I don't understand what you've done to offend her.
Well, she thinks— it's sort of like every time I purchase a book, I don't believe that I'm spitting on the master's degree of an academic. I'm just trying to get involved. Right. Everyone starts from somewhere. This woman was so angry. She's like, I have dedicated my life. I think she's just feeling extra touchy that loads of people like you and I are doing DIY gardening and we're killing our plants.
Oh my God, it's for her. So it's like a sort of horticultural slave trade that's going on. That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, oh God, she's
offended. Listen, Catherine Ryan, it's really nice to have you here on Cabin Fever. Thank you for coming. And
sorry that we ended on murdering plants. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
But did you do that on Sky News as well?
No.
Oh, shit. I'm glad we went in that direction. Just very quickly before we lose you, you're going to give us the exclusive, yeah? So you're on Friday night, you will be eating. Here we go. Yeah, here it comes. She's going to tell us. Yeah.
Something with a potato in it.
Oh, hello. See, hello. We got something. You see, Dave, what I did there was journalism. I kept asking.
Yeah.
And you spent a decade building a rapport.
Yes, that's what I was doing. That's exactly what I've been doing.
It's been the word potato. That's been the result of being fine, I think.
It's been 10 years of hard graft to get potato out of Catherine Ryan. Brilliant stuff. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. Lots of love. Have fun on Friday.
Thanks, Tom and Dave.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Catherine Ryan on Cabin Fever.
Catherine Ryan gone.
She's gone, mate.
She's gone. Catherine Ryan gone. Yeah, she's gone. Catherine bygone.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Really good stuff. So, I tell you what, David Hayes done well to get on that list, hasn't he? That'll be fun on Friday. Look forward to that.
Catherine Ryan, Nick Grimshaw, Paloma Faith. Look, hey. I mean, hey, literally, hey.
Hey, David Hay.
It'll be interesting to see what old DH brings to the table, because
it'll be very healthy. Well, is he not? Does he still box? Is he retired now?
What you're doing is really exposing my knowledge of boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Horribly. Like, does he still hit other people for a living? Let's find out. Hang on. Well, come on, Tom. This is what we do on this podcast. We look up things.
Live Googling. Is David Hay?
Steve's dead retired. Yeah, I was going to say Steve literally knows.
That is quite weird that you've got Catherine Ryan, a comedian at the top of her game, Nick Grimshaw, one of the finest broadcasters in the country, Paloma Faith, huge pop star, and a retired boxer. Like, should we get Chris Eubank on as well? Because it's Nigel Benfrey? Like, it's quite weird, isn't it?
It'd be interesting to see what the dynamic is. Maybe David Hayes just boxing in the corner, like sparring in the corner, like training. I don't know. Maybe he's doing a thing.
Do you think they're going to get a million people, though? I mean, it's a big table, isn't it?
I'm quite up for it, actually. Should we do it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why the hell not? Do you think we could...
Is it Friday?
I could probably email them back and say, can you chuck us some freebies, please, and we'll do it.
What are the freebies?
I don't know.
It's a free thing already. is this podcast going to be us trying to blag our way into already free events? Because I quite like that idea.
We are. Let's just try and barge our way.
I know no one here is paid, but we got a VIP link. We didn't just go on the website. That's a bit different, isn't it, guys?
So, I don't care if my name's not down, because no one's name is down. I'm still coming in. No, because it's Gausto. Is it Gausto? Yeah, thanks for
Gusto.
Thanks for sowing that seed of doubt in my brain. Dude.
Suing that seed of doot.
Don't they send people loads of food? Isn't that what they do? They send you little food.
Yeah, I love Gusto, mate. It is so good. To be fair, you get.
Well, do you want me to send a blagging email and see if I can get some freebies? That's what I'm asking you.
Yes, free Gusto, please. Absolutely. I mean, let's be honest. They probably won't give it us because they've got business sense. But you know. In this world, Tom, you don't ask, you don't get a free Gusto box.
Okay.
As the old saying goes.
I'll send an email asking for some food. That's what my lockdown has come to. That is... Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Jeff Hurst, what links these people?
Football.
That's a very good start. Mark Lester, who played Oliver in the film Oliver, the musical.
Mark Lester, okay.
And John Simpson.
Off of the news.
Not the political journalist. The lexicographer.
John Simpson, the famous lexicographer.
Yeah, what I've done there is read the word John Simpson out thinking it was the other one, and it turns out it's very much not him.
Wow. No, he's probably my favourite lexicographer, John Simpson.
He was the chief editor of the OED from 1993 to 2013. That is a...
Oh, really?
Substantial period to basically be in charge of the world's language.
Fucking hell, mate, this is dry.
The head of the English dictionary.
In charge of the English dictionary. So he was literally the guy who'd sit in his office and people would come in and pitch words to him, basically. That's not a word.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, not a word. Get out, yeah, exactly.
Hi, John. Peng. Fuck off, mate. Box up your goods and get out. Okay, thank you, bye-bye. Is that basically what his job is?
Yeah, but that's not my game. I've got a new game. And actually, if you're smart about this, Tom, you'll be able to very quickly work out what links these three people.
So we've got a lexicographer, we've got some actor from Oliver, and we've got Jeff Hurst.
Mark Lester, yeah.
Mark Lester. They were all born on the same day.
Nope.
They were all born in the same place.
Correct.
And that place is Canada. They're born in Canada. Because we were talking to Catherine Ryan and you've been Googling it.
So Jeff Hurst.
You can still be a knight if you were born in a different country, you absolute racist.
I mean, what's Jeff Hurst famous for, Tom?
Yeah, and how many people who play football or indeed any sport for our country were born elsewhere? It's one of the great things about this country, Dave. Again, I see above, you massive racist.
Have you ever heard Jeff Hurst talk?
Jeff Hurst, isn't he got a lucky Yorkshire accent? Or am I confusing him with Jeffrey Boycott?
No, it's a Canadian accent. You're quite right. Born in Canada.
What is it? What connects them? I'm bored of this now. What is it?
All born in Cheltenham, mate.
Fucking Cheltenham.
The Wikipedia page was still open from yesterday.
Amazing. Oh my God. Cheltenham's sort of sitting on our broadcast this week, isn't it? Just like, it just won't, no matter how much we open the window, Cheltenham will not waft out of the show.
Will not waft. Although Jeff Hurst, I believe, only lives in Cheltenham, wasn't necessarily born in Cheltenham, but that feels like a level of detail we don't need to get into. The way you said some guy from Oliver makes me think that you don't know the extraordinary story of Mark Lester, the small boy who's from Oliver.
I don't know the story.
So you've seen the film Oliver, right?
Well, yeah, but years ago, I sort of know of it. Yeah, more, please. So can I have seconds, please? That famous quote.
So he was probably 11 or 12 or however old he was in that film. That's his, that's definitely his main thing.
Well, they usually get people about 19 but stunted, don't they? And it's awful sort of, yeah, okay.
Let's do it. It's always good to do the Wikipedia test to see if they were known for anything else. But no, Mark Lester, best known for playing Oliver in Oliver. Yeah. In the 1980s, he trained as an osteopath.
No way.
That's what he went to after that.
Really?
But let me read you the maddest bit of Mark Lester's life.
Yeah.
Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Mark Lester claims that he is her father. Biological father, because Mark Lester donated sperm to Michael Jackson in 1996 and believes he is the actual biological father of Paris Jackson.
Oh my god.
The kid from Oliver is Michael Jackson's daughter's dad.
Allegedly.
According to him.
Okay, there's a lot to unpick here, Dave.
Isn't that wild?
So, a child star osteopath in Cheltenham wanked into a cup for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he might not have wanked in Cheltenham, to be fair. We should point that out for legal reasons.
Yeah, he could have wanked anywhere. So, for legal reasons, we have to say that a childhood star who turned into an osteopath wanked everywhere on behalf of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that also seems slightly legally dodgy, but that's fine.
Wow. I mean, I don't want to do an osteopath pun here, but that's a cracking story.
Tell you what, I've never really thought about it before, but this has all led me to the inevitable question.
Yeah.
Has Michael Jackson ever been to Cheltenham? Like, I'd never have thought he had. Like, why would MJ go to Cheltenham? But one of his bezies, Mark Lester, they were very close. Apparently, this is why he donated sperm. So maybe Michael Jackson has spent time in Cheltenham. Imagine Dom Jolly's fury when he realises he's another nudge down the list of famous people that have been in Cheltenham.
Yeah, poor guy. He's really... We'll have to talk... Well, do you know what, Dave? We'll talk to him about this. Save that question. Over the course of the week, let's save questions for Dom Jolly. That can be a new feature. If you've got a question for Dom Jolly, and please make it nothing to do with Dom Jolly, preferably. Do you know what I mean? So we'll just get him on and quiz him about anything random. And the first question we've got...
Has Michael Jackson... ever been to Cheltenham?
To Cheltenham, lovely stuff. If you've got a question you'd like to ask Dom Jolly that's preferably got nothing to do with Dom Jolly, give us a call on this number.
Cabin FE 83709. Oh, that's our Twitter name.
Had an argument.
Also, what is this? This relies on a fact that I'm not really aware of. Is Dom Jolly coming back on the podcast?
Yeah, he's going. I DM'd him straight after yesterday.
Yeah,
and said, listen, you said you'd come back on. Do you want to? And he was like, absolutely.
That is nice. See, to be fair to him, absolutely fair. He does do a thing when he says he's going to do a thing, doesn't he?
I thought you were going to say, to be fair to him, he is desperate.
No, absolutely not. A big fan of Dom Jolly. Honestly, Dom Jolly is one of those people that when I told my flatmate that Dom Jolly was coming on the podcast, and you know my flatmate's Cornelius, and you know what day John Dolly came on the podcast.
Yeah.
He was gutted because he loved Chuck Happy TV. He's like a big Dom Jolly fan.
He's brilliant. Well, also, Dom Jolly's great because if you want to get sort of comedy nerdy about it, he wasn't part of the comedy establishment. He wasn't an Oxbridge kind of acolyte. He wasn't very Radio 4. He was brash and loud and a bit arrogant and aggressive. And he was just fucking funny and rude. And a lot of people
Trigger
in comedy
Happy
land...
TV was so fucking...
Chuck Happy TV was incredibly good. He also, can I plug my podcast? Thanks. He did my first ever My Mate Bought a Toaster, and it's amazing. Like, it's bonkers. He was at school with Tim Henman and Radiohead. Like, there's just sorts of all sorts of random shit over the course of the whole thing. He's absolutely brilliant. Check it out on Great Big Outland. Thanks, guys.
I'll let you know when he's on Friends with Friends, my podcast.
Yeah, and well, he'll come and do it, Dave. See you above. Can I just very quickly, before we go, tell you about the argument I've had with Beth this morning? Quite cross. There's frostiness in our house at the moment.
Okay. Crusty frosty.
Yesterday the kids and I did a bit of spontaneous homeschooling when I taught them what a sundial is.
Okay, yeah. I see you're going for the useful everyday sort of tasks. And
well, I thought it's quite good to prepare them to be able to tell the time after the apocalypse.
Yes, that is good. Oh my god, hang on, park that there. I'm just gonna write down the thing I need to talk to you about. Carry on.
All right. No, but now
Reminded me of a thing that's so great.
Oh, God. Now we have to hear that more. Okay, this story, I'll just do this quickly. So basically, I went outside. And actually, if anyone's listening with kids, it's a great thing to do with a kid. All you got to do is get a piece of paper and something that stands up, whether it's a wine bottle. I think I used a sun cream bottle. You stick it on a piece of paper. You put the piece of paper in the same place, obviously, and you put it down, and then the sun casts a shade, and you get a pen, and you write on the paper, 2:44 p.m. Then you go off and do something else, and then come back an hour later, put the paper back in the same place with the bottle in the same place in the middle of the paper, and you will see the shadow will have moved around. And they both, considering they've both been really teenage and annoying recently, they both lost their shit. It was amazing.
That is great, to be fair.
Yeah, but here's the bad bit. So all those composite parts, I was going to use them again today, and at 2:44 we were going to go outside and see if the sun exactly matched up again, hoping it does, otherwise there's a big problem with the universe. And Beth, throwing away the piece of paper, mate. Absolutely throwing it away.
Oh, Beth, what are you playing at? That is livid. I'd be livid, actually.
Absolute frostiness in the house at the moment. I'll let you know how this unfolds. Over the next few days. Thanks for listening.
Oh, because it's paper. Yeah.
So come on, what's your better story than that, please?
It's not a bad story. It's a fact I learned. And that I have to precede this fact, Tom, because you're going to go, I guarantee I know what your reaction to this fact is going to be. You're going to say this is the most ludicrous thing you've ever said in your life and it's absolute bullshit. But I will counter that by preempting it and saying this has been backed up by some sort of science, and I've read some studies on it because, oh my God. Okay?
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a question, Tom. When your dog takes a shit, does she sort of circle around? And
please don't tell me it's like water going down the plug hole and they circle in a certain way.
But that happens, right?
She always circles to her right, so she circles clockwise.
Okay, so the direction isn't important.
Okay.
It's where she ends up is important.
Right.
Your dog, and all dogs, are searching for magnetic north.
No, they're absolutely not.
Because dogs are sensitive to small variations in the magnetic field, and if they can, and if the magnetic, it's called calm magnetic field conditions, dogs will always prefer to excrete with the body aligned along the north-south axis.
Oh my God.
Isn't that the maddest thing you've ever heard in your life?
That is incredible.
Your dog is shitting north, mate. Well, I guess she's shitting south.
She lives in London, so she's usually shitting on the north. That's what we tend to do. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I've got nothing more to say except this is it. Well, I mean, all I'm doing now every time Herc goes for a shit is getting
a compass out.
But so far, mate, it's absolutely accurate.
Oh, that's incredible. Also, next time you go on Duke of Edinburgh expedition, Dave, and there will be a next time, head out without any equipment with you and just take, if your dog's anything like my dog, take some chicken skin and that will get Herc up and running. Fuck, we're lost on the moors. Herc! That way is north. Wow.
Yeah. Wild, eh?
I think we should stop Cabin Fever now because I don't think we're going to get better than this episode. Catherine Ryan, dogs shitting on a compass.
It's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely wild. There you go. That's the best fact I've learned all week.
Thanks, guys. Bye now.
Bye. Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709.
Oh, that's our Twitter name. No,
I genuinely just keep forgetting that we have to play that. It's greatbigowl.com, sorry.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.